Chapter 44. All of Mad Dr. Skippy's preparations were accomplished while the ship was underway, jumping and zipping through wormholes to hopefully intercept a sentinel. Maybe hopefully was not exactly the right word. What we hoped was that by the time we arrived at Planet Peony, all the sentinels had decided the Milky Way galaxy is, like, so boring and gone back to sleep. Since that was unlikely, we hoped to arrive before the murderous thing tore apart the planet and killed billions of Bosphorok. According to Skippy, we were not actually in a race. Sierra 2 was apparently just wandering in what it considered more or less a straight line, and in no particular hurry to get there. That was the good news. The bad news was that our friendly local elder AI had only a vague idea about how to find a sentinel in the vastness of space. We might have to linger near Peony, waiting for the killing machine to emerge into our spacetime to use its weapons, at which point it might be too late for us to spring our trap. So in addition to modifying and upgrading a set of missiles, Skippy was working on sort of a whistle to lure a sentinel to our location. It wasn't actually a whistle, and he had to guess what sort of signal might attract the attention of the killing machine. And Skippy had to provide the whistle's connection to higher spacetime, meaning he would be exposed while he was trying to call the thing. And, you know, it sounded like total insanity to want a sentinel to get closer to us, but that's what we had to do. The need for Skippy to send out the signal directly meant we would only get one shot at Sierra 2 because it would emerge right on top of us. There was no possibility of planting the lure, waiting for the thing, then quickly jumping in, launching missiles, and jumping away. The energy virus would either work effectively the first time, or it would be game over for us. And for everyone.
"A penny for your thoughts?" Sims prompted me while we were in my office.
The ship was drifting in space while we waited for the jump drive to recharge. Because the capacitors had been nearly depleted by several long jumps, and it would take more time than usual to build up a full charge, Skippy was using the opportunity to transfer the energy virus from the big containment chamber into the little warhead. He was doing that far from the ship, controlling the bots through a micro wormhole. If the transfer process failed, meaning if any of the virus leaked out, we would have to jump away and start the process all over again to capture the stupid thing.
"Huh?"
I was staring at my laptop, mostly to avoid making a decision. Was I confident enough about our plan that I would give the go-ahead to proceed, or should we wait, while hopefully dreaming up a better plan? If we knew how much time we had before the Sentinel reached Peony and turned that planet into a loose collection of rubble, I would wait to develop a plan B. Since we had to get there as soon as possible, there was no time to wait for inspiration to strike. "Sorry, I..." Waving a hand at my laptop, I shook my head. "What were you saying?"
"It's not important."
She didn't look hurt that I wasn't listening to her. She understood what was going on in my head. When I asked for her advice, she had told me it might be necessary to allow billions of Bosphorok to die on Peony in order to save trillions of beings across the galaxy. It was better to wait than to roll the dice on an all-or-nothing plan we were not confident would succeed.
"It is important," I insisted, remembering that we were discussing our supply situation before my mind drifted away.
"It's just not actionable." The issue of what supplies we had aboard, what consumables we were running low on, and which items we no longer had, was in my mental FYI list. Because we couldn't do anything about getting more fresh eggs or cleaning fluid or whatever it was we had run out of, Sims would alert me if the supply situation affected the operation of the ship. That was part of her job as executive officer. She had an inventory of every item inside of and attached to our hull. The whistle thing is what bothers me. I interrupted my own thoughts. Skippy has to be the source of the signal, and we can't leave him hanging out by himself, so he needs to be aboard the ship. When I asked whether Skippy could send the signal through a micro wormhole so he could remain at a safe distance, he told me that wasn't possible. The part of himself that connected to higher spacetime couldn't be projected through a micro wormhole due to the limited bandwidth. "Like you said, we're risking everything on one roll of the dice."
"We don't even know if the whistle will work," she frowned, biting her lower lip.
"It's a tough call, sir." Her eyes flicked toward mine. I took that to mean she wanted to revisit the question of whether to attack Sierra 2 at all. It wasn't something I wanted to discuss right then. We had 2 days and a wake-up before we reached Planet Peony,
and that assumed Skippy's attempt to squeeze energy virus into a warhead was not a complete disaster. Plenty of time for me to think about it. I wasn't ignoring her. There just wasn't anything more to be said about it. Even Skippy had hinted he wasn't happy with his own plan. He was practically begging me, Sims, or anyone else to bail him out by developing a better idea. There is no way to test it, I shrugged. If it works, we'll have a sentinel appearing on top of us. If it doesn't work, we will have to chase the freaking thing. I don't know which option is worse. Waiting a beat for her to reply, she was fixated on her tablet. Exo? Sorry, sir. She stood up, holding the tablet to her chest. Are we done? We were in fact not done with the weekly status meeting, but there wasn't anything important that I couldn't read on my own. Probably one of the crew had pinged her about some minor issue she needed to deal with before it became a problem for me. Yes, sure. I'll see you in the galley tonight. She nodded before turning and walking out the door. For a moment, I considered asking Skippy if he knew what she was worried about, then decided not to. Sims was a professional. If there was something I needed to know about, she would tell me. Around the corner of the passageway, Sims turned to the right down a dead-end section that led to a set of storage lockers. Skippy? Yes? He didn't manifest his avatar, talking through her earpiece instead. I want to talk about Cargo Bay Charlie 5. Why? His avatar appeared, floating in the air at her eye level. That is a restricted area. The fabricators in there are dedicated to... I know you're working in there to modify Max Salt's powered armor for our use. That's not what I want to talk about. Okay. There is a lot of dangerous stuff stored in there. It isn't... There are a couple of Elder comm nodes in there. Well, yes, along with a lot of other useless junk. Really, I don't know why we didn't just throw that stuff away. It depresses me every time I think about them. They don't work, you know. You told us the comm nodes do work properly, but the collective network you Elder AIs used for faster-than-light communication is deactivated so they don't connect to anything. Correct. The collective network was deactivated during the AI war. That makes the comm nodes effectively useless. They are not useless, she insisted. They don't do what they were intended to do, so can they be used to send the whistle to call a sentinel? The avatar froze and glitched, partially blinking out for a split second. Holy shit. Is that a yes? Jennifer, that is a hell yes. Genius! Ah, why didn't I think of that? Man, sometimes I miss the most obvious. Does this mean you can send the whistle through a comm node while you are at a safe distance? Exactly. Wow, this changes everything. Hey, how did you do that? Do what? Think up the idea to use a comm node, he asked with eager anticipation. Did you make a list of technologies capable of transdimensional signal propagation and no? She shook her head. I was looking at the most recent inventory report, and I saw that the items in Cargo Bay Charlie 5 aren't listed as available assets. Then I started thinking about all the things we have stored in there, and I remembered the comm notes. Ah, so you can't tell me the process you use to create ideas? Stuff just pops into your head? Pretty much, yes. That is so unfair. I know, he sighed. Your heart bleeds for me. I wasn't going to say that. You weren't? No. Okay, thanks. Then I was thinking it. Her eyes twinkled as she spoke. Ugh. Is it okay if I tell Joe? Yes. How will this affect your plan? It greatly reduces the risk, and it means we can try again if the first attack fails to disable the target. This all assumes the whistle works. A sentinel might just ignore it. I know. Can you test whether the comm node works ahead of time? Good point. Yes. I'd better get started. Joe! His avatar popped to life right above my keyboard, startling me. Joe! 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 Jeez, Skippy, I heard you the first time. I flexed my tingling fingers. The hologram appeared right where my hands were, and it felt like a mild electric shock. What is it? Good news and bad news. Good news is we don't have to bet everything on one roll of the dice. I'll explain later. Right now, the bad news is we need to delay our next jump a bit so I can test something. I know it is unusual, and go ahead, do it.
He blinked at me. You're not going to argue and insist I explain a bunch of stuff you wouldn't understand anyway? Not this time. If there is any possibility we don't need to attract a freaking sentinel to jump onto our stupid heads without being able to test whether any of the shit we need to actually do works, I am all for it. Please test whatever you need to test. Okay. Wow, I wasn't prepared for a yes. I will need another dropship. Jabbing a still tingling thumb on the intercom button, I contacted the bridge. Fireball. I knew Reed was the duty officer at that time. Skippy needs the ready bird. Give him whatever he needs. Sir? Okay. She was used to unusual requests and didn't ask questions. Probably better warm up another bird for search and rescue, I suggested, in case the beer can forget something. Hey, he protested. All right, he mumbled. I guess that's fair. Is that all, sir? Reed asked. Skippy? I prompted him. Yes, Sims is getting stuff from a cargo bay for me. That will be all, Reed, I told her. Oh, this will delay our next jump indefinitely. Yes, sir. Lifting my thumb off the intercom, I leaned back in my chair. Are you happy now? Yes, Skippy said. Really, I didn't expect you to move so quickly. I trust you, Skippy. Wow. Thanks, Joe. Now you can explain a bunch of stuff I won't understand. Ugh. Please, kill me. Now. That afternoon, in between lunch service and preparing for the dinner rush, I was in the galley when, of course, Sims walked in to get coffee. At the time, I had 6 large boxes of Cocoa Crispy cereal in my arms. She cocked her head at me while she poured coffee into a mug. You were planning to have a light snack, sir? I looked at the boxes, then at her. I can explain, but you're probably busy, so... Amused, she held the mug up and took a sip. I have time. Okay, listen. I lowered my voice. We are all stressed because of this Sentinel thing. The crew needs a morale boost, so I'm baking cookies. What I didn't say was that working in the kitchen was a stress relief distraction for me. She peered skeptically at the boxes I was holding. With sugary cereal? Yes, it's really good. Because Cocoa Krispies need help to become even worse junk food? I'm going to ignore that heathen blasphemy. Trust me, come back in. I glanced at the clock. An hour. Why was I using my afternoon to bake cookies instead of doing some important starship captain things? I mean, James T. Kirk did not bake cookies. He was too busy violating the Prime Directive and violating as many hot alien babes as he could find. The truth was, with the ship in recharge mode, while Skippy loaded the energy virus into the experimental warhead and tested the comm node, there was not anything for me to do. Because the ship might need to jump away at any moment if the energy virus got loose, we couldn't conduct any training activities outside the ship. All the flight simulators were busy, and the gym and basketball court were filled with off-duty crew. Freshly baked cookies would boost morale. It was something useful I could do, at a time when there wasn't much else I could do. Making comfort food reminded me of my childhood when my mom would bake cookies on a cold winter day. With an apocalyptic battle against a sentinel looming on our schedule, I just was desperate to do something normal. Sims came back just under an hour later while I was putting the first batch of cookies on a wire rack to cool. Wanna try one, XO? Is this gonna send me into a sugar coma? No. The cookies are less sweet than the cereal. Try it. I held one gingerly, still slightly hot from the oven. Well? Oh my... This is delicious. She munched on the treat, catching crumbs in her other hand. It's a little salty. The salt brings out the sweetness without adding more sugar. Do you approve? I'm not sure. She leaned over the tray. I will need a couple more. She scooped up 3 of them. For analysis. Let me know if they are safe for the crew to eat, I grinned. This does not give you a free pass to eat junk food, sir. How about if I serve the cookies with a kale salad on the side? Do you expect anyone to eat the salad? Let's not go crazy. There was no point to us warning the inhabitants of Planet Peony, or Spooge World, as some of our crew were calling the place, so we didn't.
The inhabitants would be blissfully watching the adventures of SpoogeBob on their televisions right up until a sentinel appeared to tear their planet apart. Or, you know, maybe we'd get lucky and kill the damn thing. Either way, the Peenikins didn't need us to worry about it. While Skippy did not know exactly when the sentinel would arrive, he was certain it would be soon. Too soon for the Bosphorok to accomplish anything more than a token rescue effort. A couple thousand lives saved by using the ships available in-system would be overwhelmed by the number of people who would die in the panic-induced social chaos, even if we could stop Sierra 2 before it tore the planet apart. Instead of jumping in near the planet, we emerged 6 light-hours away, just to check that the planet was still there in one piece and had not been scorched by a massive solar flare, been thrown out of its nice stable orbit, or been crushed to the size of a beach ball. To our great relief, the planet was where it was supposed to be, blissfully unaware of the impending danger. No, that wasn't true. The birdbrains there did not know a sentinel was traveling in their direction, but they did know several of the ancient killing machines were active in the galaxy, and that at least one of them was within a couple hundred light-years of their home. That was too close for comfort, and the good citizens of Planet Peeny were already anxious to be somewhere else quickly. All 3 of the planet's space elevators were at full capacity, not with passengers taking the slow road up to orbit, but with supplies to provision the steady stream of starships loading up with anyone who could pay cash for the wildly inflated price of a ticket. As we watched images that were 6 hours old, giant passenger transport ships detached from the space stations along the elevators, maneuvering up to jump distance, while other ships waited their turn to dock. On the ground, security forces were being overwhelmed by panicked crowds at the public spaceports, and the government was impotently appealing for calm. Damn, I had been worried about our arrival causing a panic, but the Bosphorok were way ahead of me. "What's going on down there, Skippy?" I asked, on the edge of my seat, though there wasn't anything we could do about the situation. "I guess that's not true. We could make the situation worse." "Wow. I thought Earth was a mess when you monkeys were at peak panic over the mini-ice age. This is a lot more serious. The planetary government has already used the strategic defense orbital weapons against their own citizens. It didn't help that 3/4 of the senior government officials flew up into orbit in the past 4 days. The average citizen knows the rats are leaving the sinking ship." Instead of making a snarky remark, he just shook his head, sadly. "All right, turn off the video feed. It's just depressing." "Joe, there is a complication," he warned. "I hate complications. I am not exactly a big fan either, but it is what it is. There are a lot of things in life that suck, but you don't hear me whining every time someone harshes my buzz." "Yes," I rolled my eyes. "Your fortitude is an inspiration to us all." "Oh, shut up. Hey, did I whine and cry when that Bulgarian rap group started a beef with my lil shithead persona? No, I did not." "That's great. You are learning to..." "I got revenge." He rubbed his hands together. "Ha! Good luck making payments on their Bentleys after their manager stole all their money." "You stole their money?" "Hey, I didn't steal anything. All I did was point out how underpaid and overworked their poor manager was. And also I might have pointed out how easy it would be to transfer the money to a bank in the Caymans." "That is still theft, Skippy." "Meh. At worst, I'm an accessory." "The money isn't gone, Knucklehead. It just moved. Really, if you think about it, I'm like Robin Hood." "It..." Sims cleared her throat. "Skippy, what is the complication?" she asked, as irritated at me as she was with the beer can. "Oh, there is a Maxalx task force here. They appear to be arranged in a sphere around the star at a distance of about 2 light-hours. And they are..." "This is interesting. They have set up several powerful quantum resonance generators and are blasting out signal pulses across the spectrum." "Shit." I smacked a fist on my knee. "They're not preparing to defend their clients, are they?" "As if the rotten kiddies would stick their necks out to assist one of their clients. No, they already completed pulling their own people off the planet 3 days ago. That is part of the reason the local citizens are panicking." "Then why are their ships here?" "They know a sentinel is within 200 light-years of here, and while they do not understand its path like I do, they are guessing it might come in this direction. That's what the resonance signal must be for. They're trying to call it." "Call it? Why the hell would... My guess is they figure they can get it to attack here instead of destroying a world the Maxalks care about. Or they are trying to lure it here so they can observe what it does. Oh my God. They are hoping to watch a planet being destroyed? I know that is impressively assholish behavior, even for the kitties. But it makes sense, right? He asked. They can't do anything to stop a sentinel, but they can try to understand it, hopefully learn about its behavior. Do the bird brains know their patrons are using them as bait? Dude, please, Skippy scoffed. As if. The good news is that quantum resonance is completely useless for attracting the attention of a sentinel. But I suppose it's the thought that counts, right? What I care about is the kitties could get in our way and screw up things for us. Skippy, do you know where any of the Task Force ships are right now? The data I'm working with is old, but close enough. Course is programmed into the nav system. XO, I turned to Sims. Any objections? No, sir. Her jaw clenched. I don't like sightseers. We jumped in near the estimated position of a Maxalt's cruiser and immediately broadcast a message warning that a sentinel was likely approaching the system and that we wanted to deliver a message to the task force commander. Before our active sensor ping could return, the cruiser jumped away. Damn it. Well, I would do the same if I were them. We tried it again, this time deliberately jumping in 8 light seconds away from where Skippy thought the enemy ship would be. That time, a destroyer hung around long enough to ping us back and ask for the message. The ship acknowledged receipt of our transmission and... Anyway, blah blah blah. After chasing down a bunch of nervous enemy ships, we received a message back from the task force commander, who promised to take our advice, pull his ships back to a distance of at least 10 light hours, and not interfere with our attempt to take down a sentinel. The message even included a good luck sentiment, which surprised me before I took a moment to think about it. The Maxalks were as terrified as we were. Of course they were. They were probably more terrified, for they had a long memory, woven deep into their culture, of horror and resentment of sentinels. They had already suffered one devastating attack, and fear of the Elder Machines interfering again had kept the Maxalks from crushing the Rindaloo and taking their rightful place as rulers of the galaxy. I mean, that's according to the bullshit myths that their entire culture is based on. Whatever. As long as they didn't interfere with our operation, I didn't care what they were doing. Let's get out of here, I said, contemplating the fact that I had just issued an order to the Maxalks and they complied. Ain't that some shit, huh? Fireball, jump option Delta. Punch it. Joe, I'm telling you. Skippy had his arms folded defiantly across his chest while he stood on my office desk. This is a complete waste of time. I'm telling you that you don't know that for sure. If there is a chance we can avoid fighting a sentinel, I'm going to try it. There is not a chance. You do not know that. I do know, because unlike you, I am not a filthy, ignorant monkey. Ah! He shushed me. You think we can use comm nodes to set up a string of whistles to lure the sentinel away from the planet? I am telling you that will not happen. It can't happen. Your problem is your thinking is limited to 3 dimensions. 4. No, 3. Time is not a dimension, knucklehead. Just trust me on this, okay? Your plan is to set up a string of whistles, but it is only a string in local space-time. In the greater span of dimensions where sentinels reside, what looks like a straight line here is not straight at all there. There is no way to make the math work. Ah, crap. You're not screwing with me? For reals, homeboy, I am not screwing with you. Trying your ignorant plan would only waste time we don't have. Shit. After Skippy's testing verified he could use a comm node to send and amplify a signal into higher dimensions, I started kicking around an idea in my head. Set up 2 comm nodes, one on each side of the ship, as far apart as possible. Send out a signal through one node. Then, when the sentinel arrived, send the signal through the other node. Jump the ship and set up comm nodes again. Keep doing that until we lured the sentinel outside the galaxy or into a freaking star. I know, it wasn't the best plan I ever thought of. It wasn't even a good plan, but come on. I was desperate. Fine, we'll do it your way. We will try it my way, he cautioned me. I never said this whistle thing would work. It's just the only thing I can think of, other than reacting after it attacks a planet. Great. Are you ready? Yes.
Are your missiles ready?
They think they are.
I know, he sighed. I'm not boosting your confidence.
It's not my confidence I'm worried about, Skippy. This time we are not protecting only one planet infested with filthy monkeys. We are protecting everyone. Possibly forever. If we fail, and sentinels rage across the galaxy, intelligent life might never be allowed to arise again in the Milky Way.
You know what we need?
Crap.
We don't already have everything to make this work? Why didn't you tell—
What we need is angry Joe, not self-doubting mopey Joe.
Mopey Joe?
I had to laugh.
Yes. By the way, Mopey Joe is the least popular action figure ever.
Gotcha.
Okay. I will stop moping.
Let's go kill a sentinel.
We had a bitchin' party planned for the sentinel, assuming it responded to Skippy's whistle. There would not be any drinks at the party, also no sweet or spicy snacks, unless you consider an atomic compression warhead spicy. There would be party favors, though the sentinel might not appreciate how much thought we put into selecting just the right combination of weapons for the big event. We jumped into the target zone, dropped off the chosen 26 missiles and one Elder communications node, verified they were operating nominally, then jumped away. Another missile was launched, this one carrying not a warhead, but a chamber containing the event horizon of a micro-wormhole. The event horizon of the other end was aboard Valkyrie near Skippy in a cargo bay set aside for him. In theory, we would be far enough away from the Sentinel that we could jump away to safety if things went sideways. That worked when the Flying Dutchman was trapped by one of the damned things. Back then, Skippy had sent out a signal to lure it away from us, so it seemed reasonable that we could use a similar signal to lure it toward us, or toward the target zone. Was it possible the thing would hear the signal, look around and see our ship lurking a few light minutes away, then jump in on our stupid heads? Yes. Was it possible the Sentinel could backtrace the signal through the micro-wormhole and detect Skippy's presence? Also yes. A whole lot of things could go wrong, but let's not focus on that, okay?
Reed, I addressed our chief pilot. The priority here is for us to live to fight another day, got it?
Punch us out of here if anything about the beer can's idiotic plan isn't work—
Hey, Skippy protested. You jerk, I should—
Understood, sir, Reed acknowledged.
Start your music, Skippy, I ordered, cinching my seatbelt a bit tighter.
Music?
He tilted his head at me.
There isn't any— I was using slang, sorry.
The signal. Send out the signal.
The signal was going to be just a lame beep beep sort of thing, but I could set it to one of my musical compositions.
That is a great idea.
No, that is a terrible idea.
Why do you hate fun, Joe?
Oh, do whatever you like as long as it isn't stupid.
Your faith in me is truly inspiring. Commencing stirring operatic broadcast now.
Music, or something vaguely music-related, blared out of the bridge speakers.
Skippy, I shouted to be heard over the din. We don't need to hear it. Shut it off.
Ugh.
Mercifully, the speakers fell silent.
Why don't you just do your job, please?
Fine. But the next time you want to hear one of my compositions, let's schedule that for just after the heat death of the universe, okay?
Joe, I hate you so much that—
Later, beer can.
Are you getting any response?
Of course not, dum-dum. It is way too early for—
Oh, I got a nibble.
Oh, shit, jump. Jump now.
No, wait, do not jump.
It would tear the ship apart.
Oh, crap. No, no, no. I really screwed up this time.